Tune in as author and publisher Joshua Schmoody and renowned talk show host Susan Brinder interview authors, artists, business entrepreneurs, political activists, musicians, and academics to discuss what it means to live the high life. A life of total abundance, joy, passion, and fulfillment. A life where your dreams become realities through the empowering medium of knowledge. Learn something new from book publishing and product distribution, public relations, to politics, psychology, and philosophy. If real-world knowledge interests you, then tune in and start living your higher life today.
Hello, I'm Susan Brinder, and welcome to The High Life. From politics to publishing, we talk about a wide range of topics which empower you to live your best life now. And I am so happy today because I am with my co-host, Joshua Schmoody, to talk about all different things about what we want to present to you in our shows in the future. We've been actually doing some already, and it's been so exciting and so interesting. And here's my question to you, Josh. You know, you started doing so many different things in your life, and you've mentioned to me that you've done it all on your own. Now, not many people can do that. They need help. They ask everybody to help them with it, but you're different. What makes you different? What makes you, what makes you tick?
Hi, Susan, and it's a pleasure to be on again, and it's super exciting to be hosting this show with you, co-hosting with you, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity. And yeah, Susan, so I mean, just basically to tell listeners about a little bit about who I am, I grew up in Section 8 housing. I had a single mother. You know, she was a waitress her whole life. I didn't have a father. And I had to make do with what I had from a very early age. So I learned early on to utilize the resources that are available. And one thing I think it sounds so cliche now is that knowledge really is power. And this is kind of why I want to focus on some of these topics that we've been focusing on with our show, because I think that it's knowledge that can empower people to live the life that they want to live. So in my early 20s, 21, 22, I just started reading is whatever I could get my hands on in terms of nonfiction books, just learning how the world works. And that journey 10 years later, 11 years later has led me to where I'm at. I mean, I think what separates me from most people is that I realize there is no panica. There is no magic pill. There is no secret formula. The only thing that people can do to change their situation in life is to educate themselves. And, you know, right. Not just a degree. A degree's great, but a degree without any skills or without you doing anything with it really is just a piece of paper. And so I think once people realize that and they understand the value of knowledge, that knowledge can really allow you to live the life that you want to live, I think that we can empower others to kind of live the life that they want to live, not a life that they feel they have to live.
That's right. You know, I have to tell you, Josh, it's very interesting that you mentioned the whole idea of educating oneself. I had an uncle many years ago. Unfortunately, he's not here anymore, but he said something to me which really made me think a lot. He said, "I want to tell you something. If you really want to learn, this is what you have to do." He said, Take the New York Times, put it in front of you, read the whole thing, and next to all the information that you're getting, make some notes. He said, reading, there is nothing more powerful than reading something that educates you, and it's up to you how you're going to want to take it. He said, I have to let you know that every time you take a note, you're learning something. Yes. So that's the way you start. Now, Josh, let me ask you something. So you grew up in a single parent home with a mother who worked really hard.
Yes.
How did she manage? How did she take care of you? Because there are so many people today who are from single parent homes, and there's a lot of dysfunctional young people growing up, but you didn't. You educated yourself, and you had a mother who really cared. So what's your sort of formula for taking care of yourself and being the best you could?
Yeah, so You know, my uncle, I didn't have a father, but I have a very big family. So I have 8 uncles, including my the uncles on my father's side, which I didn't meet till I was 18, and I never really got to know. But the uncles on my mother's side, there is one in particular. His name is John Schmoody. He just recently, I think he held a term, 4-year term as a federal judge in Houston. I think it was the 222nd circuit, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that, but anybody can just Google his name, John Schmoody, and it'll come right up. He was really like a big brother to me growing up, and there was one thing he drilled in my head from an early age that I'll never forget. He always told me this, and this is for our listeners too, who are growing up in these environments, growing up in Section 8 housing, growing up around the poverty and the drug usage and the, you know, all the negativity, right? And that is this: you are not a product of your environment. You are a product of how you respond to your environment. And once people start looking at it like that, and stop letting their past define them and start focusing on their future, then they can live the life that they want to live. So for those growing up in these horrible situations where it seems hopeless sometimes, never forget that you are not a product of your environment. You're a product of how you respond to it. I could have responded to my environment by being a drug dealer and, you know, walking around and, "Hey, homie, what's up? Yo, yo." But I chose not to do that. I chose to
Right.
get out of that because I didn't, to me, that's not cool. To me, not being educated, not knowing how the world works, not knowing anything else besides selling drugs, that is not cool to me. That is the opposite of cool. What's cool is being able to live the life you want to live, being able to do what you want to do, being able to be your own boss and set your own schedule and do what you love doing. That is really
You
cool.
know, and you know, it's very interesting. Think about General Powell. He grew up in a family with a single parent, also in Section 8, very poor, extremely poor, and really deprived of a lot of different things. But somehow he decided that he wanted to be somebody really strong. And you know what? The military often makes people really strong because they can get educated. Okay, that's one. They can, you know, take care of their bodies because they have to really be strong and do a lot of different things because of the nature of the way it's set up. So I kind of want to know your thoughts about that as well, because did you decide to go to the military at all? Were you ever in it?
I thought about it, and the reason I didn't go, there's a number of reasons, but one of the main ones is the vaccinations, one, because they're giving these military members experimental vaccines that they're not even giving the public. So there's one issue. The other issue is what they're using for their ammunition. The Pentagon, this has been in the Pentagon, the Army Times, so this isn't my opinion. They can look this up. They've been using depleted uranium in their ammunition. So for most soldiers who have been firing over there, you've been exposed to high levels of depleted uranium, which will likely cause cancer in the future. And I think that's very sad that that's what's happening. But, you know, looking into all that, to me, it wasn't worth, you know, risking my life for something like that, especially if it's for a cause that I don't really believe in anyway. So, I mean, if
No.
we were back in the 40s and it was Pearl Harbor, oh, yeah, you bet I would have signed right up. I would have loved to go over there and, you know what I'm saying, and fight
Yeah.
for my country and against Hitler. But for what's been happening now, I don't really agree with the some of the political stances that we've been taking as a country.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your business. You're now in the publishing business, and you know, we've done a show called Publishing 101, where you kind of describe what you have to do to really survive, if you will, in that business and to make a success out of yourself.
Yes.
Now, your business, first of all, how did you choose to be a publisher? Because not easy, competition like crazy.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think the misconception a lot of people make is that they think it's all about competing, right? And yes, there is competition. There is a bunch of us doing, you know, similar things, trying to compete with each other in a sense. But I think the bigger issue is creativity. It's being creative and thinking outside the box. And me, myself, I started the publishing company originally just for my own books because I saw a lot of my friends. I mean, you remember when we had Emily on the Susan Brinder show, sure. We talked to her. This publisher charged her $1,400. This is a great girl. Huh. I mean, she's very intelligent. I love her books. But it's just people in today's world, they will con you if you don't know better. You know, they will take advantage yeah. of you. And I saw this happening to some of my friends. And I said, you know what? I would rather just do this on my own. One, because I can learn how to do it, which is worth more than any amount of money. And two, I will have control over where I publish it, how I distribute it, what I do, what I write, rather than having it edited out because it's not politically correct or, you know, because a publisher just doesn't agree with a certain thing in my book. So that was one of the first points. But one of the second points was to help others that were in the same position as I am really get their work out there without taking their royalties or taking their copyright, because the copyright to your book, owning that is the most precious thing you have. And when you sign that away to a publisher, you better trust this publisher. I mean, you better be able to look at this publisher's track record and see if they've got, you know, other successful authors, because typically in business in general and publishing, you have to be very careful. If you don't know better, people will not tell you. People will play on the fact that you don't know better typically, and they will take your money. So that was one of the main reasons I started it, so I could have full control. And so I could really learn how this publishing industry works from the business side.
You know, I would love to know if the rest of your life looks like a certain way. If you remembered your purpose for being, what would you tell the world? What's your reason when you wake up in the morning and you kind of look yourself in the mirror and you say to yourself, okay, I'm Joshua Schmoody. Now, the rest of your life, what would you like it to look like?
Well, Susan, you know, we've talked about this before, and I'll talk about it again. This is what really got me into Carl Jung, too, because I was having these inner experiences really starting at 6 on up, but these inner experiences that were of, I guess you could say, of a mystical nature that really troubled me at the time that they occurred, because I didn't understand them. And I felt like I didn't have anybody I could talk to about it without them thinking I was crazy or, you know, without them thinking I was making it up. So I just kept it to myself, and I started reading Jung, and Jung really clarified some things for me. And this is with everybody. We have dreams. Everybody has dreams, right? But in our life, we will have a series of what Jung called great dreams. And these are dreams we have that we never forget. So they're dreams that we have and we'll remember 20 years later. And Jung believed that these great dreams actually deal with our purpose and with our destiny. And one of the first great dreams I had, I was 6 years old. And I remember the dream very vividly. I was traveling in a car with my mom. My mom was driving, and there was some unknown man in the passenger seat, and I was in the back seat. We were driving down this road, and I was looking out the window, and up on the clouds, the little houses were up on the clouds, and these angels were stepping out of the house and waving at me. And I remember waving back, and we finally arrived at where we were going, and it looked like a water tower with a telescope on it. But then the telescope, there was this giant eye, and it was like looking rapidly everywhere, and then it focused on me, and then I woke up. And the next dream I had, I was about 14, which is very personal. I'm not going to relate it here, but I will relate it in my next book. I think it's better I show people. But that was what is known in the Catholic community as an imaginative vision. So it was a vision that I had during a sleeping state, and it related directly to a question I had asked concerning my destiny or my purpose. And when I had that as an answer to my question, I started sort of not understanding it and meditating on what it meant. And now as I've gotten older, I really understand what it meant. And I'm seeing the symbols that I was shown at 14 all coming to pass. I think that my destiny relates to speaking, relates to writing. But I think it's just getting started in a sense. I haven't written my best works yet. I haven't said the most important things that I plan on saying yet. But I think when we talk about destiny, my dreams and my inner experiences have really been the guiding and driving force behind a lot of what I do. It's something that was revealed to me early on that I am living if you will. So, I mean, imagine seeing your future at 15, not understanding it because it's in this highly symbolic language, and then finally really grasping it in your late 20s and seeing life happen exactly as these symbols were sort of relaying it was going to happen. And that's pretty much the story of my life. So I've done what I've done mainly because I'm fulfilling what was shown to me at a very young age.
I have to tell you, Josh, when I listen to you, I really say to myself, you know what? He's on a mission and he's ready to live a more artfully, sacredly, and skillfully life. It's just amazing to hear you talk about in such a positive way about where you're going from here, which leads me to the question of asking, we live in a society today that is so conflicted. There's so many issues and so many things that are happening in politics, in various other fields. And I have to tell you, Josh, it's not an easy world. And I'm just wondering, when you look at yourself and when you look at the world in general, what do you think about? What do you say? Do you feel that things could be more positive, or is it going to be a real journey that maybe take us down the wrong path?
I think that through tragedy and through adversity, I think that if we respond to it in a certain way, they can make us better. They can help us grow. And I think that we're at a point right now, humanity in general, where the religions of the past, the revealed religions, have become just sort of outward form. They've just become something they do because their parents told them to do it. You know, it's just something that has become more of a tradition rather than an understanding of what it means and what these symbols actually represent. So what I see happening in the future, and what I hope to have really a part in playing and making happen, is I think that we're going to reach a level in our spiritual development where we understand the meaning of the myths. And what I mean by that is the underlying theme in almost every revealed religion. And Joseph Campbell talked about this extensively in his book called A Hero with a Thousand Faces, the journey of the hero, which is a journey that we all have to take. But I see in the future a sort of scientific mysticism, if you will, a new understanding of ancient truths. And I think what will accompany this is a heightening of sense perception. So what I mean by that is we all see light in a certain spectrum. We can only see certain colors. We can only hear at a certain range, a certain frequency. In the future, I see that being expanded. So I see us being able to see greater spectrums of light that normally we cannot see. And I also see us being able to hear greater frequencies audibly that right now we cannot hear. And you kind of see the beginnings of this with EVP, which is electronic voice phenomenon. But it's been postulated that the dead can be heard at a certain frequency that is outside the frequency of the normal hearing range. And they've used software to do this. They've used Audacity to play it at a certain frequency. So I think that there is a way naturally, using metaphor restructuring, which is relates to reverse speech and what I write about, but I think there's a way naturally to heighten our sense perceptions. And in doing so, I think that we will take religion from a traditional thing that we just believe and have faith in to something that we actually live and experience in a very real way.
Yeah, you know, all of this is super interesting, and I think our audience needs to delve into it a little bit more with you, and I'm sure that we'll do something like that in the future. But I want people to know a little bit more about our show and the people whom we're going to interview, and I'll tell you straight out, right now we did an interview with Dr. Deborah Donnelly McClay. Dr. Deborah McClay is she's actually the captain of UPS and a person who motivates people, who does work with Harvard University and various other mentoring organizations. The next person we're going to be interviewing is Ken Savin, who is a director of the International Space Station. And then another one is Derek Thomas, who is a VP of a company that is really well known, and he'll let you know a little bit more about them. Duncan Wardell comes up in the future, and he is the former vice president of Disney. Eric Nince is the head organizer of TEDx in Boca Raton, Florida. And the list goes on and on, and I'm sure that you're going to find our show extremely interesting. I want everybody to tune in and make sure and tell them, Josh, who they tune into and where they could find our show.
Yeah, certainly. So just like you said, we've got some amazing guests lined up, Susan. I'm very excited to bring some of these guests to our listeners. And what I think the main focus of our show, the underlying theme of our show, we're going to talk about a lot of things from health to book publishing to politics. But I think the underlying theme is knowledge, is the empowering tool of knowledge. What I would really like people to gain from our show is to be able to listen to our show and get some real world knowledge, some real world advice that can help them in their own life and help them live their higher life, their better life now, which is kind of the reason that I called it high life. I think that most people are not living the life that they want to live. And hopefully listening to our podcast, listening to some of the stories that our guests will give, and then listening to some of the business strategies that I and others will be giving will really help people live their best life now and live that higher life that I think we all kind of yearn for, that life of meaning and that life of purpose. Some of the guests you've mentioned that we have lined up are going to be amazing. Another guest that hopefully will be on here very soon is Glenn Cato. He is an author. He's published about 5 books, and he deals with marriages. So I know marriage is a hot topic as well nowadays. A lot of marriages are kind of struggling, and some may be suffering, ending in divorce. I think over 50% are ending in divorce now. So hopefully we will have him on to give some people some guidance and some advice when it comes to their marriage. But we got some amazing guests lined up.
And it's very funny, you know, a lot of people, when I told them our show is called High Life, they said, is it about drugs? I said, no, it's not about drugs. I promise you that. It is really about the things that you just talked about. And I'm very proud and very happy that you and I are going to be able to do this together. So with that said, I want to finish the show, and I want to thank my co-host, Joshua Schmoody, for telling you all about things that he does and believes in, because it's really very insightful. And not only insightful, it is really important for everybody to know. So thank you, Josh, for being my co-host, and we'll be on again. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on YouTube. Where else, Josh?
Spotify. You can find us on Spotify, Radio Republic. We're on pretty much every major platform except for Pandora, and that's in the works. So wherever you guys want to listen, Google Play Music, iTunes, YouTube, we're going to be everywhere, guys. Just type in High Life Susan Brender or High Life Joshua Schmoody, and we'll come up.
Always fun to be with you, Josh. You know what? Always fun. So thanks, and I'll see you very soon. And audience, I want you to know that you're going to have the time of your life listening to our show. So thank you very much for listening, and out.
Take care. Bye-bye.